all of me wants to worship all of you. My praise awaits you every day. All of me wants to worship all of you. My praise awaits you every day. Teach me how to worship you. Show me how to love you. Draw me so close to you. Teach me how to worship you. Show me how to love you. Draw me so close to you.
That's a song of prayer, a song of dedication, a song of worship by Tommy Favard. It's been a favorite song of mine for many years now. Still sounds so fresh, sounds so beautiful, and sounds still top quality even years after. Guys, let's get straight to the phone lines right now where we have US-based singer, a woman with many talents, I must say. Please, let's give it up for Tommy Favard. Yay!
Oh, thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. God bless you.
It's such a pleasure. Such a pleasure. You know, and I hope you remember that this is not exactly your first interview on Praise World.
No, it's not. I remember coming in when I came with my husband in 2014.
Yeah.
I didn't really know anyone at the time, so it was foreign to me. But I feel like now I feel a bit more comfortable. But yes.
Those were the early days. You remember our studio back then, yeah?
Yes, I do remember. I'm sure you guys have upgraded, levels have changed.
God yes, of
has
course.
Exalted you.
So
from
great
glory
to have
glory.
Hallelujah. So you, on that day you were interviewed by A-Cube, but I was at home listening to the interview.
Yes.
And I was just I felt like just coming to the studio to meet this person. Like I'm like she who's this person with so much energy, so much life, so much bubble, so much humor, so much soccer zims. Everything was just
praise
good.
God.
Wow. So
praise
such
God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's such a pleasure years after to have you on the show again. All right. So
let's sir. Thank you so much.
It's such a pleasure. Such a pleasure, man. Let's take you way back now to one of the things you mentioned during your last interview that I still remember very vividly. You talked about how you produce music. You produced your album, actually. How you were into some engineering, writing your songs, the versatility as far as music was concerned. You mentioned that back then, and I recall so fresh. So tell me, is that still the story years after?
Yes, it is. It is, but that has also grown in a lot of ways. And what I mean by that is the more I had to invest that initial self-production, I had to invest it. I had to do that for myself when nobody knew who I was, so that I could show that I had this passion and I had this drive. But because I did that, that first album birthed relationships that have now helped me with consequent albums. And so that first album was completely my handiwork. The only thing I didn't do was mix and master, but I produced everything by myself at home. And I had a friend help me mix and master, and I paid him for it. But then my second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth albums have now been blessed to have me work with other producers, you know. And they, you know, I think them seeing what I could do by myself, it kind of challenges anyone who wants to work with me to say, okay, well, we need to beat whatever you've done, and not just beat it, but we see what you were trying to do. Because I don't deceive myself into thinking I'm this world-class producer. No, I did what I had to so that I could do what I want to later on with people who can help me realize the vision of the music I was trying to produce at the time.
Wow. And the music, I must say, has back-to-back consistently been of high quality. And for that, I really commend you. Well done.
Thank you so much. I'm really grateful for that. Thanks so much.
Great. So I hear it. I mean, of course. Have you been to Nigeria after that point?
Yes, I came back to Nigeria at the end of February. I believe I got in February 27th of this year, 2020. And I came in on tour for 2.5 weeks. I was only in Lagos and Abuja, but I was around for a tour, and I was literally busy back-to-back events. I was ministering. And so it was a very blessed, it was a blessed time. It's the first time I've been back since 2014 with my husband. So, it was definitely new. Nigeria changes every time I come. But I just came back. I returned, I think, March 18th or so was when I got back. Actually, I left about just two days or so before the international lockdown.
Wow. That was close. That was close.
Yeah, that was close. I think my children prayed me home.
Oh, yeah.
They would have been very frustrated if I didn't get back home.
I can imagine. I can imagine. So tell me, yeah, in your experience in Lagos, what was that? What is that one thing that happened in Lagos? What's that one experience that happened in your last trip to Lagos that is still very fresh in your memory, very memorable for you?
Well, I would say it's the collaboration that I did with Sister T.Y. Bello, the Passover song, the Tafi song. It really gained a lot of traction after I left, and I never saw that coming. And what's funny is that was just God. You know, I planned my trip, but my manager and I, my husband, we planned the places I would go minister, and that was not part of the plan. That was God's orchestration. I'd never met T.Y. Bello before that day. And I ended up, she got my number from Folabi Noel and called me and was like, hey, we're having, you know, spontaneous worship. At first, I didn't even believe she was the one. I thought I was getting pumped or something. And I was like, is this a prank? Who is calling me? And she's like, no, this is T.Y. Bello. But she usually has a spontaneous worship, and she hadn't invited anyone, but the Holy Spirit laid it on her keyboardist's heart to mention my name. And I just so happened to be in Lagos at the time. And so I went in, and we got there 2 hours before. So she had her makeup artist do my makeup, and we just worshiped, you know, spontaneously. It was nothing that was planned. We didn't rehearse anything.
Wow.
We just worshiped, you know, and this was before the full lockdown. So we didn't even know the extent of the coronavirus and everything that was happening, but we just worshiped. And it was just amazing to me, and it still is, to see how God took a 9-minute portion of that hour and a half worship session and has turned it into something that encourages so many people.
That piece right there is, I don't know, words will fail me in describing exactly how that feels and the impact of that upon not just myself, but a lot of people who hear it. When we play it on the radio, we get feedback a lot as well about how powerful that is. Let's talk about that for a minute. Let's just talk about Tafi for a minute. Passover. I mean, Tafi, that's... what language is that?
It's Hausa, actually. I was born in the north. I was born in Kaduna, so I do speak Hausa. Hausa and Yoruba. My family is Yoruba, but I was born in the north, so I speak Hausa.
And so tell me, Hausa. Your Hausa is still fluent till date?
Well, I would... I still understand it. When I speak it, people might laugh at me because I might not sound as strong and as fluent as I should. Obviously, since I've left Nigeria for, oh my gosh, how many years now? I think I left when I was 12.
Wow.
And I'm 33 now, so 21 years I've been away. So it's not fluent, but it still exists.
let's try something out now. Can you say this in Hausa? Let's just try it out. Hi everybody, my name is Tommy Favored and you're listening to Praise World Radio.
Okay, so nudukanku da kuna ji yanzu muna kan Praise World Radio. Now go there.
She added a thank you to it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Yes. Not bad at all. Not bad. In fact, yeah. The way it sounded in that song, though, because for some people, and I hear this a lot, I had a chat with Nikki Lauye on the show yesterday, and she did mention that when whenever she sings in Yoruba language, in a dialect, there's a deep connecting to deep. Whenever she does
that, you said it. You said it. It's deep calling on to deep. I think sometimes God, you know, there's that scripture where Jesus was talking and he said, when you stand before them, don't worry about what you will say. He says, when you stand at that point in time, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. And I think that's the nature of worshiping in the Spirit. There comes a point where the Holy Spirit literally puts you to the side, but then he draws from everything he has previously deposited in you to communicate whatever message he wants to communicate. So at that point, it's not even your creativity that is at play. It is God's creativity through whatever you've already allowed to get into your spirit somewhere. You might not even remember those influences. I mean, you heard me speak Hausa right now. It doesn't sound forceful. It doesn't sound certain, you know. Mm. But when I sang it, it sounded powerful because it wasn't the words. It was who was behind the words being spoken in that moment.
The Spirit backing up the words. Powerful, powerful. So, Tafi, you know, let's talk about the Passover, and of course how that relates to our to this season that we're in, this critical season that we're in, this in quote uncertain season that we're in. And it's interesting to see that this COVID-19 global pandemic actually brought a lot of believers to a bit more consciousness of the Passover. That's why I find that song very, very apt for this season. So can we talk about that a little bit, about what the Passover really means and how what it depicts for a believer?
Yeah, absolutely. The story of the Passover originally is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 13 in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And it's the story of when the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt and when God was sending the plagues on Egypt to literally defy the gods of Egypt and prove that they had no power over him or over his people. One of the plagues, the last one, was God saying, well, the firstborn child of every Egyptian Egyptian family will die, but for his people, he gave them an instruction and he said, listen, you will put the blood on your doorposts. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Mm. And so that's where that phrase or word Passover comes from. And we read later on in the scriptures where we know that Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb for us in this dispensation of grace. Jesus has come and he's the Lamb of God who's been slain once and for all. And so when we come to God, we come to him. The Bible says we come to the throne of grace to receive help in time of need. We come boldly, actually, not by our virtue, not by our good works, but by the grace and mercy that has been purchased for us through the blood of Jesus. And so death and hell and the sting of death, which is sin, it passes over us because of the blood of Jesus that God sees on our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, so we don't come to God based on our own merit. We come to him based on the blood of Jesus. So it's that same sentiment of, well, God instructed his people. This is my, and what's funny is it says God instructed the Israelites, but I always imagine, what if an Egyptian was listening? Yeah. An Egyptian decided to do the same thing. Mm. If an Egyptian had decided to pick up a lamb, slay it, and put the blood on their doorpost, I strongly believe that death would not have entered into their household either.
Sure.
Because it was a simple instruction. And so it's this instruction where we have the name of Jesus and we have the blood of Jesus. That's why you'll notice, even with most Christians, if you're going to be in an accident or something, your first instinct is to call on Jesus, like, oh my God, Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, something like that. You know, because this inbuilt understanding that when you call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower into which the righteous run and are saved. So even with the coronavirus happening on the world, it's not that we are ignorant of this real disease. It's not that we're ignorant of the problems legitimately that have happened on this world. It's not that we are ignorant. The truth of the matter is, when the natural fails, when we reach our limit, when we don't know what else to do, we call on the name of the Lord, because that name is the name that does what other things cannot do. Mm. When the masks don't work, or when the gloves don't work, when the hand sanitizer doesn't work, or when that person is on a sick bed and there's nobody to visit them and the doctors don't know what to give them, you call on the name of Jesus, and that's where impossibility starts working, and that's where the supernatural meets the natural. So that's why we call on the Passover. And it's funny with the Tafi song. Mm. I honestly didn't know Passover was coming. Because Passover ended up happening, what was it, like April 8th or something like that. And I had no idea, because I don't follow public holidays or Jewish holidays.
Right.
But here we were in the studio just worshiping, but the Holy Spirit supernaturally inspired us to sing Passover, not knowing that less than 2 weeks later, the actual commemoration of the Passover was going to happen. So that's just God. Wow. But it's God always giving us the reminder. Sometimes you read stories in the Bible and we don't think it's legitimate, or we don't think it can be applied to us in this day and age. But this coronavirus has taught us that, yeah, something so little that we can't even see can spring up and humble nations. And what do you do at that point when you are fighting an unseen enemy? You have to call on the name of the Lord. And the people who are calling on the name of the Lord are seeing a different rate of grace, a different level of salvation, optimism, a different level of positivity going through the circumstances.
Oh, wow. Whew. Now, your music, which I believe for you is a tool, you know,
yes,
this is among many other things that you do, that you're involved in. I just got to know about another one this morning. That's your podcast. I'm coming to that. So, your music is a tool for you, for drawing people to Jesus. And, I recall a time you described your genre as eclectic Christian music.
Yes.
Is that still, are we still on that? Are we still with that genre?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes, so, I still believe it is. And eclectic just means it's just diverse. It's just, you know, I can't always sing the same thing. Putting my music in a box is difficult, because I can't say today I'm just singing high praise, tomorrow I'm just singing worship. And it's whatever I feel, whatever God decides to put out of me. So that's why I call it eclectic, because I really can't describe it as any other thing.
I mean, just watch out. She might drop a rap song tomorrow. Don't be surprised, guys.
Hey, that's right.
Don't be surprised. So now, at this time, you're a gospel music minister. You're a minister of the Word of God. And
yes, sir.
In a time like this, a lot of people get to look at us. They look at us in that, oh, you guys are always talking about Jesus, yeah? And we are now in a time where there's no answer. There seems to be like, man, I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more attention on people like us. People who proclaim the power of Jesus, who have always been doing that from time. Someone might not want to check back and say, okay, now this thing that you've been talking about, now what exactly is this?
Yes.
Now tell me, how can in this time your music and we generally as Christians, as believers, draw people to Jesus in times like this?
I think crises are the perfect times to minister hope to people. The Bible says Jesus told us to go tell the world the good news. Mm. What is the good news? The good news is the fact that in a world of chaos, in a world of confusion, in a world of sin, we have this God who loves us so much and who has blessed us with salvation freely, mm-hmm. something we could never afford. He gave it to us freely, not because it's cheap, but because he paid for it and then gave it to us as a free gift. This is good news. To the person who is in the world, who has no faith, who has no belief system that transcends their understanding, they're very limited right now. I mean, America, Italy, Germany, all these countries, they don't know what to do about the coronavirus. They've reached the limit of their understanding. And people are dying like flies because of this thing. And human intelligence and human intellect cannot handle it.
Mm.
But the people who have faith, the Bible says those those who know the Lord or something like
those
that, they will do
God.
Exploits.
Yeah.
Yeah, those who know their God will do exploits. So here we are as Christians. The advantage we have in times of chaos is the fact that we look crazy.
Mm.
We look different. When everybody, the Bible says, when they say there's a casting down, you are over here saying there's a lifting up. It's a rise and shine. The light has come. The glory of God is risen upon you. It says darkness will be over the people, gross darkness, but you will shine forth bright as the morning. It's literally us being in the midst of chaos, but we are shining.
Yeah.
But we are saying praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But we're being joyful. And people are looking at us like, Shawele Yahweh, are they crazy? Or what is it? Like, are these people mad? But it attracts people in the midst of darkness. Even the smallest light becomes significant. Because people see you and they say, how can you be happy in a time like this? And that becomes our greatest moment of ministry. And even death, I've talked to people and someone asked me to talk about death because I wrote a book on death after my parents passed away in 2018, my dad in February, my mom in December. And I wrote a book about death and it was so hopeful. And people were like, how can you talk about death in such a hopeful way?
Mm.
And I said, listen, even with the coronavirus, let's say the worst case scenario, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is somebody gets coronavirus and dies.
Mm.
If you don't believe in Jesus, you are hopeless. You cry. You don't know what is coming up. But for the Christian, the Bible already told you that even death has lost its sting.
Mm.
So even death does not have power to take my joy. Because even when death comes, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you see an unbeliever who is dying of the coronavirus and they are sad, they are crying, they are frustrated, they don't know what to do, they don't know what comes next, they are hopeless.
Mm.
And then you see a Christian who is dying and is the maddest thing in the world. This person is singing hymns. This person is laughing. This person is telling you, God bless you, I will see you soon. I'll be praying for you. Everything will be fine. And you're like, you are dying. Oh boy, how can you be hopeful? But they know that when they close their eyes, they are just being born into eternity. Because the next sight they will see is Jesus. This is the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And this is what makes our message so tangible. Because we have a hope that not even death can take away from us. The Bible says, what can separate us from the love of God? Is it sickness? Is it death? Is it no? And you know what? God uses us Christians to snub Satan. Wow. What do I mean? Satan in heaven. Satan, this guy, this loser called Satan. In heaven, you are in a perfect place. No pain, no sorrow, no trouble. And you fail to worship God. And God had to cast you out. And here we are, Christians. We put this guy to shame every single day. Because our own worship is still legitimate, even in a place of pain. So here is Satan. Guy, in the midst of perfection, you fail to worship. Meanwhile, here are children of God that he has birthed on the earth. In a world where there's pain, where there's sorrow, they still worship God.
Wow.
You see why the devil is so threatened by us?
Mm.
Because in the midst of trouble, we still worship. And in the midst of perfection, he couldn't even do it well. That's what makes the Christian the anomaly. That's what makes us different. That's what makes us so in this world, but we are so not of this world.
Wow. Wow. That is a very interesting perspective, interesting, you know, view to look at the Christian from. Just very, very interesting.
Yeah.
And that should threaten the devil. That should annoy the devil every day. just realizing this.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
I mean, like as a pastor, I saw a pastor said, you know, the devil thought he was going to close down churches. Unfortunately, you just opened 50,000 more locations of church in people's houses.
Houses, yeah.
because IG, Zoom, Facebook, YouTube Live is going crazy right now. And with Jesus and Christians shouting the name of Jesus, because you can't stifle us. When the devil thinks he's doing something bad, the Bible says God will make all things work together for our good.
Well, the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Okay, before I let you go, though, I'd like to touch on one or two other things. First is, you are on the front line. And that by itself is... I really don't know how you do it, you know, because you have your music going on, you have your career going on, and how you get to balance both, even before the crisis was marveling enough. But now in this current phase, I know you have a radio show you host, you have a podcast you're running, and here I am having a chat with you this morning on the show as well. What is life like? Because I know as a nurse on the front line at this season, you would have seen things, you would have heard things. How is that life like? I mean, getting back home to your family every day. Some kids might just want to tie their moms up and say, "Mom, you're not going nowhere," or just going to trap that kid somewhere and say, So it's a real sacrificial endeavor that you are in at the moment. Can you just tell us what that life is about and how you're living up?
For me, I thank God that I'm a nurse, and I'm frontline. I'm an essential worker because I'm a nurse, but I don't necessarily work in the hospitals, but I still work with patients because I work home health.
Okay.
And so I may not be as exposed to danger as some other nurses who are working in the emergency room, for example. That's why you're having to triage different patients and you don't know who has what.
Right.
In my case, I'm working with patients who they're within their homes. So to some extent, I know what their condition is like before I get there. But again, I still can't control who they may have been exposed to or what they might have been exposed to. But at the end of the day, it's my job. This is why I went to school. You know, this is what I've been trained for. You know, there's a scripture that I always remember when I'm facing something difficult. And I think it's a scripture that says, if you shy away in times of trouble, how strong are you? If I falter in times of trouble,
then your
how
strength
strong
is small.
Am I?
Yeah.
And as your strength is small. It's a scripture. I can't remember the reference. But for me, that's how I see it. Like, okay, Tommy, this is what God has. giving you the grace to do right now. You can complain about it, or you can see the positive aspect of it. Mm. A lot of people can't go to work right now. A lot of people can't make money right now. Mm. But in your own case, you are blessed to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that job is a scary job, it's still a job. You can support your family. And again, if you have Jesus and you implement the natural measures of safety that have been provided for you, then you should be okay.
Mm.
And you just go out there and you do your job, because this is what you've been trained for. And you don't live under this assumption that you'll never fight or face any challenges. They will come. But the idea is you don't go and sit there and cry. You go there and overcome it.
Yeah.
You go there and you be the light. You go there and I show up to work, and even if everybody around me is scared, you won't see me being scared in front of you. Mm. I might go into the bathroom and cry and wash my face and pray, God, please protect me. Oh, please have mercy on my children. Oh. But when I come out, I'll have a bold face. You know, and when I get home, half the time I take off my clothes in the garage. I don't even enter the house with my work clothes.
Mm-hmm,
I'll make sure I take them off and wash it before I come in and hug yourself. My children, because I don't want to bring anything from outside, you know, inside to the children. So you do have to implement those safety measures. But at the end of the day, it's what you are called to do. And I said recently on a post that I put on Instagram, just because you are a worker doesn't mean you're not a mother. Just because you're a mother doesn't mean you're not a wife. Just because you're a wife doesn't mean you're not any other role God has called you to play. So you go to work, you do your job. When you come home, you pick up the mantle of being a father or a mother or a brother or a sister or anything else, because we are called to be all things to all people. And that in itself is part of the responsibility of being a good Christian. You know, I love something about Redeem. They have something called the social, Christian social responsibility or something like that. So it's not all spiritual. There's a practical side to our theoretical Christianity that has to be implemented with people. And my job is one of the places where I get to be a light in a secular setting.
Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to ask you a question that I've asked a few people who have hosted on the show in the last few days that are artists.
Yes, sir. About that
one Tommy favored song that is being a blessing to you right now in this season.
I would have to say, I mean, other than Tuffy, but technically I can't even claim it's my song. That was the Holy Spirit song. I never sat down to write it. But I would say of my songs that I sat down to write, it would have to be The Cross. Mm. I would say it's The Cross. And for me, the reason it's The Cross is that is what we look up to as Christians. That's what I look up to. That's what defines me.
Mm.
That's the reason why I do everything I do, why I do every music that I create, why I say the things I say. It's the cross of Jesus Christ, and that's what I'm looking on to, because he's the author and the finisher of my faith. So I think the cross, because even when I look at the lyrics, those lyrics came from a place of worship. He says, you know, unworthy, yes, we were, but his love has elevated us to his presence where we are forever made worthy. You know, I was unrighteous, but his sacrifice has made me new. And so for me, that's my hope. You know, I don't earn my salvation. It was given to me freely by God. And because I didn't do anything to gain it, there's nothing I can do to lose it.
Wow.
And so it's something that God has given me. And that is something that whether I'm good or whether I'm bad, on my bad days or my good days, I look on to Jesus, because I say, Baba, thank you. Mm-hmm. If not that you just love me so much, I wouldn't even be where I am right now.
Wow. That is truly inspiring. The Cross. So we're going to play the song The Cross to wrap up this session. But just before I let you go, please tell us about your podcast.
Oh, awesome. So I have a podcast. It's called Bringing Our Worship with Tommy Favored, I call it Bow. So it's Bow with Tommy Favored. You can find it on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Stitcher, Castbox, Overcast, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, and now I started uploading them to YouTube as well.
Lovely.
And so it's just I try to do something every week, and we just discuss different topics, salvation, you know, work, just whatever can be an encouragement. The motto for my podcast is harmonizing the people of God back to Him through His word, spoken and sung. And so we share music and I share words, and it's just to encourage people. But yes, that's my podcast, Bow with Tommy Favor.
Bow. All right, so guys, make sure you check that out. Check that out. Bow with Tommy Favored. Bringing our worship with Tommy Favored, available across podcast platforms. All right, so do check that out.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so very much, Tommy Favored, for taking out time.
Thank you.
Means a lot to me because I know your schedule right now is not so free. It's quite a busy one. But thank you so much for fellowshipping with us this morning on the show.
Thank you so much, sir. Yeah. I really appreciate you. And God bless everyone who listened in. Have a wonderful rest of your day. God's got us.
Yes, He does.
Okay.
Yes, He does. My love to your family.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Amen. Bye. All right. Bye now. Here comes The Cross by Tommy Favored right here on the Praise O'Clock Show. Do stick around. We have a lot more still coming. This is the Praise O'Clock Show.
Forever is found. gave your life for us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for the sins of the whole wide world. You've taken it away, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.